Between the Strikes, submitted by Amber.
I live in Scotland. Last night we had a really bad thunderstorm. At 4:15 a.m., I was watching the lightning outside my window, when all of a sudden movement in the field below caught my eye. At first I thought it was a fox, but when I looked at it and saw it staring at me, I just had a feeling that there was something wrong with it. I opened my window wide so that I could stick out and put my flashlight on it. The whole time, it's staring at me, watching my every move. I noticed that it had missing bits of fur and a weirdly morphed face. It let out a demonic type of screech. I quickly pulled myself in. I shut my window and ducked down. About 10 minutes later, I looked back out the window. It was still there, just staring at my window. With every bolt of lightning, it would move closer to my house until the wind knocked over a bin. It must have thought that it was an animal that knocked the bin over, because as soon as it happened, the thing reared up on both its hind legs and ran across a field toward that bin. I kept my eye on it. When it was away from my house, I went around every room to shut all the windows. After that, I closed my blinds and turned away from the window. I could still hear it, but I refused to look. When I woke up a couple hours later, it was gone. We're supposed to get another thunderstorm tonight. I just hope it doesn't decide to come back tonight.
Okay, welcome to the True Scary Stories with Edie podcast. This is the podcast where two stand-up comedians read scary stories submitted to us by our fans, the Uglies. What's up, Uglies? Thank you so much for tuning in to this new episode. This is a podcast that has some commentary after every story, so if you're not into that, we totally get it. We have another podcast that's on every Sunday called Just the Terror. It comes out late Sunday night, early Monday morning, and that is available to you. It's all the terror, none of the talk, no commentary.
Yep.
This story was submitted to us through our Facebook. If you want to submit your scary story to us, you can do that on the Facebook group at True Scary Stories with Edie, or you can even do it on the Instagram, which a lot of people do too, which is at True Scary Stories with Edie. Whew.
You
I did
it.
I said all the.
I always, every week, I always wonder what your announcements are going
to
sound like.
Right, or if I'm going to miss the one thing and then afterwards have to come back, loop all back to
yeah.
it. All right, so this is our first Ugly in Scotland. Hi, Amber.
Yeah.
I love that.
Did you say Scotland?
Scotland? What did I say?
I think you said Scotland.
What's wrong with Scotland? Oh, yeah, well, the president said
Oregon. The land of the Scots.
The president said Oregon.
Well, some people do say that.
Well,
actually.
Some people do say Scotland.
Okay, all right, okay.
You're looking at one of the prime examples.
Yes.
Cool. Well, we're reaching all over.
Unless it's like Scotland Phoenix.
Right, or like Scotland Florida.
Yeah.
What I have to say about this, sounds like you saw something out there. What do you think, rabid rabies fox? Or do you think it was like a skinwalker or something possessed?
Well, skinwalkers exist in the Navajo regions, typically.
Do you guys have any Navajos over there?
No, I think it's kind of related to what our topic is, so I don't want to give it away.
Oh, so we're going to have more details on what Amber might have seen throughout the podcast.
Yeah.
Got it. So, yeah, you might have saw some weird fox.
You saw a cryptid. Or a weird fox.
There are a lot, depending on where you are, it's so crazy because different regions of the world have their own cryptids. We all know that, like, in Japan, they have their own scary demon people. And then all over the world, we have different ones. Like, skinwalkers would be in the United States because they are Native American threatening entities. So every different region has its own. So in your region, you might have this weird fox thing. And I bet you other people have probably saw it around you.
Yeah.
And that's just like what you guys have over there. Just like how in Mexico they have duendes and here we have guys under 5'2". Okay.
No. Yeah. I mean, I don't.
We have trolls or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah. The thing here would be, obviously, is this something that's regional? Have other people talked about it? Are there tales? I mean, it's a scary thing. But I would, like, if I moved to Scotland and I didn't know of any animals there, and then I saw something that I'd never registered before, I would think it was a demon.
Right. I wonder if there are creatures that can take. That can possess, we know that there are creatures that can possess people, but are there creatures that can possess animals?
Well, they can shift into them. Yeah, possibly.
Maybe that they can, depending on if the animal has a soul or not.
Yeah.
Could you, you know, go after a rabbit or a dog?
You know, it's funny because
you can possess their body. Why couldn't you? Because they can possess humans' bodies. So why couldn't they possess an animal's body?
Yeah, we never really have heard stories. Because I guess we don't have
animals. My dog was possessed.
My dog was possessed.
Sounds like a Goosebumps book.
Yeah.
My dog was possessed.
Yeah, he became a businessman on Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly.
And killed the stock market.
He's like, all I care is that you go Dow Jones. Dow Jones.
Okay, all right.
See, I roped it in kind of at the end.
Yeah, I like it.
It wasn't very good, but it was like, okay, she tried. That was a good effort.
The way they got the demon out of the dog was they pretended to throw a ball, and the demon thought they had thrown it and went out of the dog.
They thought it was an orb.
The dog knew better. The dog was like, no, that's just a fake out, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
They do this all the time.
Yeah, a demon possessed my dog, and I live to tell the tale. Someone's written that on the internet, I'm sure.
We did have the supposed mimic of the dog, remember? The glitch.
Right, I do think that there are entities that will pretend to be your dog in order to gain access to you and your soul.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe they can get animals. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's funny to me when I was reading this originally, the idea of this, this whatever it is, demonic cryptid, like every time the lightning struck, just stopping and being like, oh, I was trying to get closer.
Right. Yeah. So if a demon possesses an animal, is that animal just a Pokemon now?
Pretty much.
Like it
That's
has
exactly
like,
what a Pokemon
it
is.
Has like a soul now, and it can like morph into, it's just a Pokemon now.
According to evangelical Christians, yes.
Oh my goodness. All right, so we're getting on to today's topic, which is the Dog Man Returns. We've done one episode about the Dog Man. A lot of people have been seeing this guy. There is a whole website dedicated to people's stories of times that they have seen the Dog Man. It used to only be in Michigan, but now it appears people are seeing these kinds of, I don't know what they are, wolf hybrid people, werewolf people, I don't know. Well, we're going to find out. So this first story comes from Linn County, Oregon, and it's dated March 2017. Well, that was recently. And guess what? It was 2:30 a.m.
All right. Another night of not being able to sleep due to back pain. I awake most nights until 3 a.m. or later due to having severe spine issues, as well as fibromyalgia. How do we say that? Fibromyalgia. Myalgia.
Oh, my. And now that we said it, we're going to get ads for it.
Yes. Which can be cured with Ozantic. Ozantic.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Sponsor us.
All right. Let's continue. We live in a lovely manufactured home community. There's lots of trees around here, and it's very close to canals, large open fields, and woods. I was lying on my side, reading, when my neighbor's motion detector light turned on. This happens from time to time. The space between my neighbor's house and ours is about 10 feet. When it turns on, it lights up the entire side of my house. We have lived in this neighborhood for 9 years. I have never once seen anything walk past my bedroom window at night. Since I was facing my large bedroom window, the very bright motion detector light going off caught my attention. I looked up and saw the side silhouette of a dog man. I said, holy crap, it was walking past my bedroom window. I saw it from mid-shoulders up. The shoulders were huge and its head was huge. It had pointed ears like a German shepherd and a long snout. Its mouth was slightly open. I saw a large tongue that seemed to be lolling to the side of its mouth. When I saw this creature and spoke those words, I could swear the thing slowed down, smirked, and then kept going. That's all I saw that night. Last week, though, while in my bedroom again, I heard something huge land on the ground behind my bedroom wall. That wall has no windows. I heard deep, kind of raspy breathing. I started praying, pleading the blood of Jesus over my house, grounds around it and all. I do this most nights, but sometimes I forget. I know this is what I saw, but the fact that I saw it has left me amazed. Why is that when so many are also seeing them? I guess I just thought since due to my health, I'm in the house most of the time, and I would never see it. My husband went outside weeks later and measured the area by the window. That dog man had to be at least 8 feet tall. What concerns me greatly is that no one in the police department or government will alert people to their existence. People are walking around feeling a false sense of security. I know I did. I won't even try to walk outside my house anymore. And yes, I have cautioned my neighbors, the ones with the security light. Several years ago, a homeless woman was camping out down by the river here in Albany. She was found dead, and her tent was really torn up. I believe the police report in the newspaper said she was torn up as well. To the best of my knowledge, no one was ever caught for that crime. This is a sleepy town. Just over 50,000 people. We no longer get the newspaper, so I have no idea if this has happened again. I just want people to be aware, so that they don't go out at night anymore, especially near the river. But then again, we're not near a river. And I saw one in the middle of the night.
All right, the old mystic river that appears out of nowhere in the middle of the night.
No, I think she was talking about the dog man, not the river. That's very funny.
That's what Amber saw, was that river in the middle of the night disappearing and appearing on its own. Woo! Yeah. All right, so now you kind of know what a dog man is. I guess what you're trying to say is that maybe Amber saw the dog man when she saw that wolf thing.
Possibly.
She saw the wolf woman.
Yeah, it could be.
Instead of the dog man. So as you can gather from this, the dog man, he is half dog, half man. And we're not talking about like, okay, he's just a super loyal guy. You know, that's not what we're talking about. It's not just some guy who comes up and licks your face and everyone's like, oh, it's the dog man. He is half dog, half man. He's got the dog face, dog arms. He's got the dog arms, dog body, but then he stands upright on his dog legs. Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people say he's got yellow eyes or red eyes or whatever.
Yes.
Usually, I feel like they're not very aggressive, but they are super scary, and they will attack you if you attack them.
Well, like any other animal, yes.
I don't think there's
one animal that's like, I'm not going to attack you if you attack me.
Okay. Okay, that I'll have to write that down in the podcast. So there's not one animal that does that. So anyways, what do you think about this story? Anything?
The only thing I could say is that the whole idea of it smirking, you know, I mean, we often attach these weird human habits that we do to animals, and but it's like the animals don't do the same things as us.
But this isn't just an animal. This is dog man.
If it knew it, then it might be more of a werewolf, because it might be like part man.
I don't believe in werewolves.
You know, like, ha ha, I am, right?
He's a little cheeky.
To me, I think this, I mean, obviously this person was scared by something. Could be a dog man. I think this person, though, is highly frightened. And it's one of those neighbors that are like, you've got to watch out. Outside.
It sounds like she's a kind of a skeptical person, because in this, she or he does say, I was praying with the blood of Jesus, as I did most nights.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this may have been like Carrie's mom, who was sitting in her house and praying and, you know, kind of letting her mind get away from her.
Yeah. Very fearful. And don't be so fearful.
Okay. Sacramento.
Date, 1953. The encounter I'd like to share is not my own, but that of my mother. She used to tell me stories when I was young about strange things she had experienced in her whole life. There's not particularly a lot of detail to this encounter, but what you may find interesting is the location. The sighting took place in Sacramento, California around 1953, not too far from our state's capital. Using Google Maps to get an approximate location, I can see the sighting area was about 1,000 feet to the west of and perpendicular to the American River. Across the river from the east bank, it's only about another 2,000 feet east to the state capital. So this took place fairly close to a heavily populated area. My mother states when she was about 12 years old, she was laying on the couch watching television. That's when she noticed a scary dog face looking at her through a low pane window. She said it must have been about 2 to 2.5 feet above the ground. Out of fright, she covered her face with her pillow. After a minute or so, she snuck a peek, figuring she must be imagining things. She saw it was gone and felt a little bit better. Then she noticed it was now looking through another higher window. Its head was now about 4 to 4.5 feet above ground. According to her recollection, there was nothing outside that window for a dog to stand on. At that point, she just ran in terror to another room. She describes the animal as being dark gray with glowing red eyes, seemingly panting or baring its teeth. She didn't see the body, but had the impression that it was thin. Unfortunately, she doesn't recall the time of day, month, or season. My parents tell me there's likely some American Indian burial grounds in the area. There had been excavations near the river which yielded Native American arrowheads and other artifacts. Some of the other dogman encounters I've heard are in proximity to rivers and Native American burial grounds. The area around my grandparents' house was not really wooded. The neighborhood was mostly large fields with a few horses and some cattle. The areas around the river are wooded now, though. It was probably a lot more so in 1953 than it is today. Another paranormal story about this area is that on Monster Quest's episode detailing the Mothman, someone supposedly was taking dusk or night shot pictures of the Tower Bridge in 2009 and saw a flying humanoid shape or something fly off of a bridge. The Tower Bridge is in a 1,000-foot range from my grandparents' house. Spooky.
All right, so everyone knows who listens to this podcast. I'm from Sacramento.
Yep.
916 represent. So, no, I don't remember ever seeing anything like this, but I do remember that when we moved into our new house, after doing some research, my sister did find out it was on a Native American burial ground, which I feel like a lot of Sacramento is. So, and when we say Native American, what we probably mean is Mexican, because Mexico used to be California, right?
Well, no. Native America, you're right. It's Native American. Mexico is more of just a country, kind of like the United States. It doesn't actually, it's not like it's a race of people.
Oh, right. So anyways, I do believe that there were probably very, very many burial grounds here before the land was taken over during the gold rush, which is when everybody came to Northern California to Sacramento,
yes,
to in hopes of finding gold in the Auburn Mountains. Ask me how I know. We had to learn about it all the time in homeschool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are a lot of people who came here who especially wanted fame and fortune, who were looking for gold. That might have been one of their crazy spirits, maybe, or it could have been straight up dog man.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to say. I haven't heard of the dog man in Sacramento before this.
Yeah.
But also, there is Native American land there. It could have been a skinwalker, and it could have been, honestly, when you're that young, it could have been a dog, but then she saw it on a higher window.
Yeah, but it's like 4.5 feet, so I don't know how high it actually, I mean, I've seen dogs that are pretty tall stand up.
Especially if a dog is scavenging, looking for something, yeah, it's going to be looking in windows to see if people are home. So it can try to, and maybe a bear.
Yeah.
There are bears in Sacramento, and they do, you know how bears are. They scavenge for things. They look around for people, and they are really, really tall.
Yeah, but it did say it had glowing red eyes.
That's exactly what we talked about. Okay, well, maybe it wasn't a Smokey the Bear then. Maybe it was just a ghost of the Gold Rush.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
even though those people look nothing like wolves.
Yeah, we've talked before about how the idea of skinwalkers wasn't so much only stuck to wolves and things like that. They could take other shapes. And that mixed with the idea of feral dogs, that dogs had to evolve. The ones that we have in our house evolved from wolves in some way. But that means that there may have been a certain part of the species that evolved into a different type of dog.
Right. There are also like a lot of the dog breeds that are very, very rare now. They covered it a little bit on Back to Skinwalker Ranch, or whatever that documentary is about Skinwalker Ranch, where they saw some very, very, very large dogs. And it turns out to be this really rare breed of wolf. Ooh. That's like not really around that often anymore.
Yeah.
But to be that tall and with the red eyes, I would, of course, it's the dog man.
Yes.
It's the dog man, of course. It's got the red eyes. I mean, I've never heard of a dog breed with the red eyes, so it's got to be dog man.
Scary.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, good. Powers County, Colorado, February 9th, 2017. Time, 11:30 p.m.
Well, I am 24 years old, male, and I live in the middle of nowhere, literally. I was getting home late one day after dropping my sister off at the airport in Lamar, Colorado. I live just under 7 miles north of the Oklahoma border, on 250 acres of land. I have a trap line running around my property for coyotes. I use a Duke number 3 leg hold trap so I can catch a variety of things in it. The first two traps I checked were empty, so I headed south. That's when I saw this thing. At first, I thought it was a coyote, a big coyote. It was almost 5 feet tall on all fours. It was caught in my trap and was running around making a dust cloud. Then it stopped and looked at me. I slammed on the brakes and my truck stalled because it's a manual. I was fumbling for the keys to start it. It's an old farm truck with a carburetor on it. It had quite an afterfire. Once the creature had heard that, it lunged at me and roared. I saw that it had its hand, not paw, but a hand, caught in my trap. Right hand, to be exact. It had probably been looking for the dead rabbit that I had in the bait hole next to the trap. Then it stood up and ripped the two earth anchors I had, 24 inches in the ground, right out. It took me a long time to put them in there with a 10-pound hammer. It pulled them straight out within 15 seconds. After it did that, it just stood there, looking at me. Felt like an eternity. I knew my 357 would do nothing to stop this thing if it came at me. I prayed to God that it wouldn't come for me in my truck. I was looking at it in shock and awe. I noticed that it had orange eyes. They weren't glowing. Instead, they had a tint like a cat's eyes in the dark. They may have been reflecting my headlights. Then it took a step towards me, curled up its upper lip, showing me its teeth. They were huge. The longest two had to have been 4 to 5 inches long. It growled at me, and then it was gone in the blink of an eye. I was scared crapless then. I jammed the truck into gear and spun the tires, getting out of Dodge. Like I said earlier, seemed like an eternity, but it must have lasted no more than 30 seconds. Later, I returned with an Indian friend of mine. He's part Arapaho. I grew up with him, and I trusted him. He told me some stories that were passed down through his grandparents' tribe. He mentioned something about a loup-garou, or French werewolf. He also told me how fur trappers in the late 1700s and 1800s were chased off the lands in the Rockies from this thing. I used to work till about 10, 11 at night, but now I sleep with the lights on. Sounds silly for a 24-year-old to be doing that, but honest to God, I'm still frightened by this thing. I haven't bothered going out looking for my lost trap. I'll bet the thing has torn it apart by now.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with a 24-year-old sleeping with the lights on. When I was in college, me and my girlfriend shared a room, and we both decided to sleep with the lights on for the whole year.
Boom.
Yeah, and we were adults, so don't worry about it. You're perfectly fine. You saw a goat man. You saw a dog man. This one had yellow eyes. They have different colored eyes, apparently. Maybe there's some kind of dog man hierarchy where it's like, well, I'm a blue-eyed dog man. Well, you blue-eyed dog man are always thinking you're better than us red-eyed dog man.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, it sounds like classic behavior. What about you?
I mean, it's the first time we heard of it having a hand.
Oh, yeah, so, the hand? Okay, what was that for?
Oh, I guess it has a hand.
Just a regular human's hand, like a skin, like skin-colored human hand to have like a ring on it? Like, what does that mean?
Well, you know, like
a monkey's hand?
No, like a werewolf. Like it's a man, dog man, so it has a
hand.
I know,
but usually the dog man has like a paw, like a dog paw, like a monkey paw maybe. Like more of a, not like a human's hand. Well, maybe like a raccoon hand.
I don't know. Maybe this is the first time we've heard it.
This is the first time we've heard about the hands, which is weird because if it's got opposable thumbs, why is it having trouble getting out a trap?
Oh, because, I mean, get yourself in a trap, it hurts.
Yeah, but if he's smart and he has opposable thumbs, he's smart enough to know how to get out of a trap. I say that as probably in a week from now, I'll fall in a trap.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, traps are pretty
yeah,
intense.
This isn't a cartoon. It's not like there's bear traps on the ground that are going to snap your leg open.
This was a Duke number 3 leg hole trap, mm-hmm. All right? And it can catch a variety of things in it.
Including a dog man.
Yes.
Well, it seems to me that these dog men usually are not aggressive, but they do have like an aggressive behavior, like, hey, get away from me. I'm not going to hurt you. I don't want to kill you.
Yes.
I'm hungry, but you're not what I'm after. And then, yeah, maybe that's why they're smart, so they're curious. Maybe that's why they're always looking in windows.
I think it's funny.
Because we've heard that before in the last episode we did on this, they were looking in windows as well.
Yeah, well, dogs do that generally. You know, they go to people's houses like they own them. You know, like, oh, let me look. I'm a dog. The idea of French werewolf, I wonder if that's, like, maybe it's a smaller version of a werewolf.
No, that's, like, I think where werewolves came from. It was, like, when you say French werewolf, I think you mean werewolf.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's where we'll have to check on it and get back to you guys. But I'm pretty sure, like, werewolf means French werewolf. Oh. But if you're a Native American, you would say French werewolf because you wouldn't want to say skinwalker.
Yes.
Or whatever. Okay.
Ah.
Let's keep going. Okay, I did a little research, and French werewolf is just a werewolf. But werewolves have been around since before French werewolves. They, even in Greece and all different kinds of places in the world, have known about werewolves or have some kind of reference to werewolves or wolf men. So it didn't come from France. There are older sightings of them, but French werewolves is because there is a story about a guy who would be gone every couple of days, and he was supposedly a werewolf. Oh. And they hunt werewolves and stuff like that in France, apparently. But it's the same kind of thing.
I wonder if...
it's a werewolf.
I wonder if the reference was to maybe like when French settlers came in, were there quite a few that came from France? I know they were in the Louisiana area.
Yeah, it says that it was like when people would die a lot of the times, they would like write it down as they were killed by a werewolf. Like that was one of the real ways you could die.
Yeah.
So that's... When they say French werewolf, they just mean good old-fashioned werewolf.
Okay.
You know what we're talking about. All right, this next story is called Man... Oh, man. Okay. Matanuska Valley, and it comes from Melissa.
Okay. 10/27/1998. My encounter took place many years ago. It was late October, days before Halloween. I never had the faintest explanation for it until a couple of months ago when I randomly stumbled across Dogman on the internet. I was in my early 20s, working swing shifts at the time, commuting about 100 miles each way. So it's usually around 2 in the morning by the time I got home. I was only about 10 miles from home at that point, driving on Trunk Road. Trunk Road is a narrow, two-lane road consisting of nothing but twists and turns. The surrounding terrain is somewhat swampy and thick with black spruce. There was no snow on the ground, but it was cold enough to be wary of ice. I was driving an 82 Subaru SW. I don't know what an SW is, sorry. Going about 20 miles an hour around a curve when my headlights caught a large, dark figure up ahead. I saw the monster on the northernmost section of Trunk Road in the Matanuska Valley in Alaska. This area is almost smack in between the towns of Palmer and Wasilia. I'm bad at judging distance, maybe 6 car lengths away. I instinctively let off the gas, coasting closer. At first, I assumed it was a moose, as the area is infested with them. But no, it was standing upright. Bear then? No, it's not a bear. It looks so strange. Tall enough to be an uncommonly large bear, but far too slender. And it looked like it had spikes running down its neck and back. A Halloween prop? It was an odd but effective place for one. All those thoughts ran through my head in a fraction of a second. The car was still coasting closer and I could see more details. It was standing in profile, gazing across the road. I could clearly see its wolfish muzzle, large upright ears. The spikes on its back were in fact clumps of hair. Its spine curved in a smooth, very natural looking way. It was standing in the ditch, inches from the pavement. Because I was focused on its upper body, I do not recall anything about its back legs or if it had a tail. I did see its front legs though, very doggy looking, hanging awkwardly down and slightly toward its front. Exactly as you'd expect if a dog stood upright. While it clearly had a canine look, there was still something off about it. It was perfectly still. At this point, given the proximity to Halloween, I was quite convinced it was some sort of Halloween prop because it was clearly not any kind of existing animal. I was deeply impressed and gently stepped on the brakes, intending to stop and examine it closely. Then it turned its head towards me. In the tiny fraction of a second that it took for it to swivel its head, I knew I had made a terrible mistake. The fluidness of its movements removed any and all doubt that this was some kind of prop. It was horribly, terrifyingly alive. The pale off-white glow of its eyes shining in the headlights destroyed any possibility of a human in a costume. I think I sat there gaping at it in shock for a few seconds, the car barely moving by now but still inching closer. As I was almost upon it, I had to look up to see its face. I think it could have leaned forward and touched the car if it wanted to. I snapped out of my trance and slammed on the gas. The car fishtailed. I prepared myself for death by monster, as I was certain I'd end up in a ditch. But the tires caught the pavement and I drove like a complete maniac all the way home. I did not look back. For the next several years of driving that commute, I went 20 plus miles out of the way to avoid Trunk Road. I never saw anything remotely like it again and never heard any stories about it in the area. The thing never made any aggressive moves, but there was something about it that felt very predatory. I have only been on that section of the road a few times since, never alone and never in the dark.
All right. Well, yeah, there's something predatory about it. It's a giant wolf. Very predatory animal. Especially, you know, it's so weird because wolves hunt in packs and this thing never is around other Bothmen.
Yeah.
So it's more...
Well, we don't know.
People are are pack animals as well. So it's so weird that it's always by itself. Just kind of like, also like Bigfoot, always by himself.
Yeah.
Never Bigfoot, you know, and Big Kid and Bigfoot Kid and whatever. It's always just Bigfoot, but there has to be more than one.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know if this is the hunter of the group that they send out and there is, you
right,
know,
and everyone else is underground.
Yeah.
So I did look up that thing that I was talking about earlier about the prehistoric wolves that were alive. I was talking about the dire wolf.
Oh, no.
Which is a huge species of wolf that's actually in extinct.
Okay.
So it says the dire wolf is an extinct carnivorous mammal that was most common in North America and South America. And it lived about 10,000 years ago. And it was 55 to 80 kilometers, which I don't know how big that is, but it sounds like it's pretty big.
I know. I wish they would have done this for Americans if it was from North America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll have to get how big it was. But there was like a huge, huge wolf. I think it was like 20 times bigger than the wolves we have today. So kind of like how there's a megalodon that's like was a huge giant shark. We had also had huge giant prehistoric wolves. So I wonder if these things are just not completely died out.
Yeah, well, because
they find things all the time that they thought were extinct.
Yeah.
And if this animal's really smart, it probably avoids people when it can. And it sounds like it doesn't hunt people. So it running into people would be very unlikely.
Yeah, very random. Let me ask you this. Do you think, because obviously, from what we're reading, the Dogman does not sound like a spirit. It doesn't sound like a demon. It doesn't sound evil. So it's more than likely a different version of an animal.
Okay, it says, okay, now I found it. It says they were about 200 pounds on average.
Oh, okay.
And 25% heavier than the largest dog breeds we have today.
Oh, okay.
So these were very, very, very big animals.
Yes.
Like the size of a moose, probably.
Yeah.
So that makes sense that she said she maybe thought it was a moose.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't have hands. So, and they didn't have glowing eyes.
Oh, yeah. That's the other so part of it. The hands and the glowing eyes.
Yeah. There still might be, obviously, like a prehistoric animal that's been around for a long time. Just like we find other things we thought were extinct. Maybe there's something we don't know about. That's the whole point of the podcast, I guess. Let's keep going. Mineral County, Nevada.
I grew up in a town called Hawthorne, located in Nevada. Hawthorne is located right next to Walker Lake. The main highway leading from Hawthorne to Reno is Highway 95, which if you use Google Earth, you can see runs right between Walker Lake and a mountain range. This creates a small area of the highway that is affectionately known to the locals as the Cliffs. When I was 14, my grandparents, Mom and I, were coming home late from a long day of doctor's appointments in Reno. My grandfather was driving, and we hit the Cliffs a little after 11:30 p.m. I was in the passenger seat to help keep my grandfather awake, but I still think it was just so I would sing folk songs with him. Anyway, about a third of the way around the Cliffs, heading toward Hawthorne, there's a small area where the road pulls away from the mountain and creates a small-out cove area. As we started to come upon it, we saw a large animal crossing the road dragging another animal in its mouth, and it stopped in this outcove. Grandpa thought at first that I might get my first look at a live mountain lion, so he slowed down. When we got within 100 feet of it, he turned on the brights of the car. To our surprise, it was no mountain lion. We only had a couple of seconds to look at it after Grandpa turned off the brights, because right after the light hit whatever that thing was, it turned to look at us 1 second, and then the next it leapt straight up the side of the mountain and out of sight, leaving the mangled body of a fox. Grandpa hit the gas, and the old Buick we were in jumped, waking up the woman in the back seat. I'd never seen my grandfather truly scared before, but even he was physically shaking afterwards. I remember the sheer bulk of the thing and the fact that it looked like a really large bodybuilder. When it jumped in the same fashion as a human, with its arms reaching up towards the rocks almost over its head, it had long, thick fur, but you could see the muscle definition. I don't remember the facial features, but I remember the pure terror when that thing looked and looked at the car with shining yellow eyes. I even peed myself. I've come practically face to face with a polar bear, and I wasn't as scared as when we saw this thing. Now, I don't believe in werewolves, and I haven't seen anything like it since, but I hope I never do again.
All right. How can you not believe in... I guess I don't believe in werewolves, but I definitely believe in a dog man. I mean, there's so many sightings. Okay, so here we got the red... What do you say? Red or yellow?
Yellow.
Yellow-eyed one again. Hmm. What do you think that like it changes its eye color based on like mood, or do you think it's just
I
different breeds? Like
think it's just different
how
breeds.
different dogs have different colored eyes?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're pretty much right on that. I also think that, I mean, it could be a weird mix of that some of these are a spiritual,
Right, because how do you make
thing.
your eyes glow unless you're a spiritual
Yeah, and
thing?
then some of them are just evolved huge animals. The fact that this one jumped up like a human, reaching its arms up towards the rocks, I wonder, I don't know. It's very strange. All of them have very interesting details, but I don't know if they're all seeing the same thing.
Right. And then here we have it eating a fox. So the other one, it was going after kind of a rabbit, right?
Yeah.
The guy who laid a trap, he said he laid a trap with a rabbit. So it seems like they kind of hunt after small game.
Yeah.
Fox, rabbit, those kind of like weird little rodent things. It doesn't seem like they're going after humans or deer or something like
Yeah.
bigger. So I think that's kind of important. I mean, that kind of shows that they are out, but they're not really trying to get involved with us.
Yeah.
I think besides that, the fact that it jumped straight up is very weird. It just flied away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of vertical it has, but that's what he said. I mean, he's also young, obviously, at this
Yeah.
time. So when you're
It could have
young,
jumped up into a tree or something like
yeah.
that.
We don't know exactly what his
He
mind
also
perceived.
couldn't concentrate because he kept looking at his rippling muscles. He was like, "Oh yeah, he was
Yeah, it's
ripping
like
it apart."
a
I mean, he was a
bodybuilder.
bodybuilder. His muscles were so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And guess what it was eating? A fox.
Yep.
That's Amber's fox. He was eating the
Yeah.
fox, and then the
Okay.
fox gets possessed by whatever that is, and it goes over to
Yeah, because he
Scotland.
dropped the fox, yep.
Yep, and then it gets a plane to
Oh,
Scotland.
so you're cracking the case.
Scotland.
Yeah.
Scotland, and then it goes and visits our friend Amber.
There you
All right,
go.
we cracked the case. Broome County, New York. Time, 8 p.m. 4/22/2016.
My husband believes in the dog man, and up until a couple of days ago, I thought he was nuts. While my encounter was not as up and close and personal as others, it was nonetheless terrifying to me, and I feel that it has forever changed me in the way I view the world. I had just arrived home a few minutes after dusk, after visiting my parents. Our location is rural, but we do have a few neighbors within shouting distance of us. We have 33 acres of mixed forests and fields, with lots of thick brush, consisting mostly of briars. I had my two young children with me, in the Jeep, ages 2 years old and 11 months, when I pulled in the driveway that night. My husband was working late with an emergency case. It was near fully dark when I arrived home. As soon as I stepped from my vehicle, I felt creeped out. It felt different outside. We have lots of peepers and crickets that would normally be making lots of noise. Even the birds are usually chirping until an hour or more past dark. This time, there was not a sound. It was very warm that evening, so the peepers should have been in full chorus. Because of my uneasy feeling, I was rushing to get the kids in the house at the same time and did not want to leave RJ in the car alone for a minute, as I routinely do. He and our older daughter, who was asleep, are normally too heavy for me to carry together at the same time. That night, though, I grabbed them both, one in each arm, after finding my keys to the front door and carried them both. Usually, I would use the auto garage door, however, the opener did not work. When I reached the front door at the top of the stairs and got situated on the front porch, I put down Angelina in order to open the front door. As soon as I turned my attention back to the front door, it happened. Somewhere to my left came a sound that will forever be seared into my memory. It started low and slowly increased to a moderately loud growl. It was deep-toned and very guttural, and was very angry, hateful in character. It was nothing like anything I had ever heard before, but it did sound canine in origin, especially after spending an hour listening to various animal growls. The growl continued for approximately 10 seconds. I was so terrified I was fumbling with my keys. It felt like I was dropped into an 80s horror film. I really did think I was going to die. I was sure any second the thing making this sound was going to pounce upon me and the kids and eat us right on the spot. The growl sounded as though the creature was standing just off to my left. I refused to look out of fear of what I would see. It sounded so close and at or even above eye level with me. My porch extends another 5 feet to the left, and then off the porch is the front of the house. There's 35 yards of grass at the edge of the tree line, and there's a field with 2-foot-tall grass opposite that. There's also a small shed between our porch and the tree line. Standing on the front porch from my head to the ground is approximately 9 feet, so I assume it was standing near the corner of the house. I've never been so afraid until a few moments later when it actually spoke to me. As the growl continued, it seemed to melt into audible words, spoken in a very deep and gruff tone that seemed to have a rough sort of reverberation quality to them. When I heard as clear as day was, "You can't get in." The only word I'm sure of at first was "you," as the sound of the growl transitioned to English words. It sounded more like "ye." Now, I was hysterical and dropping the keys. Finally, I got the right one in and got the door open and got in. I had to kick my daughter through the door, regretfully. Strangely, she seemed oblivious to what had just transpired, as if she didn't hear it. I slammed the door shut and never looked. I didn't hear anything else that night. I called my husband and his friend to let them know what had happened. So, I never did actually see what terrorized me because I couldn't look. I've had 2 days to think about this encounter and talk with my husband, who has listened to almost everything about dogman encounters. I'm fairly certain that this was what was growling at me. The sound was not human and seemed like it was amped or mic'd up because it seemed so powerful. Not that it was a loud growl, but it seemed unnatural. Also, the height it seemed to emanate from and the silence that preceded it led me to that conclusion. My husband agrees because the entire week, he too has been on edge. We had lived here for a year and all seemed normal until this week. Our cat, which is an indoor cat, got out accidentally and has vanished without a trace. She's gotten out before and just stood around until we got her back in the house. Also, my husband said Tuesday night he experienced the silence outside and it really unnerved him too. He says he has never experienced anything so eerie. On Wednesday, he took our dog into the woods to look for our cat and felt very uneasy. He said the dog kept tucking its tail and turning around wanting to go home. It's not like our dog or my husband to feel uneasy in the woods because both of them love the outdoors and are very comfortable in nature. On Thursday at dusk, he took the dog around the back lot and says something took off from the thickets at a sprint and came crashing through the woods down the hill towards him. He always carries a sidearm, which is when he is out and is normally not afraid of anything, but he actually turned and ran back up towards the house. Whatever was charging stopped seconds after he stopped to listen and did not make another sound. He was very concerned when he came in, stating that he knows what big game sounds like and this was just not right. Even he was surprised that he ran from the sound. The following day was when my encounter happened. After talking about all these events with my husband, we are concerned that there is a dogman in the area. My husband is so worried that the thing has decided to stalk one or both of our kids. My husband said that based on the other stories he heard, the dogman plans ahead when snatching kids. My husband thinks it may have been scouting the area with plans to do just that. He said it was doing that or that it was waiting for me to leave one of our kids in the Jeep for a minute. Either way, none of this is good. The main reason I wanted to submit this was because it seems very unique in that it spoke to me. It wasn't the words, but the feeling it gave me that disturbed me the most. It was as if it was trying to give me the impression that I was nothing and that I was weak and just food. I got the impression that it was saying, "Can't get in," like, "Ha ha, you're mine." It's hard to explain because it seemed like it was conveying its frame of mind and that it was, for lack of better description, making fun of me in a very cruel way. I really want to know if you have ever heard of one of these monsters actually speaking. My husband and I really want to believe that our conclusions are wrong, but instinct and what we heard have us highly convinced that it in fact was a dogman.
Okay, so this is so weird. And this one was really freaky to me, but that the dad already had seen one of these things. The odds of two people seeing this thing that are together are so slim.
Yeah.
This sounds more like something that's attached to the dad to me than a dogman. So let's say this dad, he saw this whatever weird thing, this demon thing. He's like, "Oh, yeah, it's a dog, man. No." And he tells his wife, right?
Yeah.
This thing is actually some kind of demon, spirit thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because all this behavior is not typical dog man behavior. And the odds that these two people are going to see a dog man are so slim that it's nothing like any of the other stories. First of all, we've stated several times in this podcast, all these dog men have not wanted to interact with humans.
Yeah.
They've been chasing small game, things like that. That none of them have been manipulative to humans. It seems like they're avoiding them. Now, what really kind of makes me question this whole thing, that this is actually an entity that's like stalking the dad, is the fact that they both see it. It seems to be only coming around stalking their family.
Mm-hmm.
The woman got it talked to her through her mind, which is not something we hear the dogman do.
Yeah, no.
That's something we hear aliens do or very, very demonic, powerful spirits. That's not something ghosts usually do. That's not something that the goat man usually does. That's not something that shadow people do. That kind of behavior is usually only for demonic spirits. They can put something in your head, or it's aliens. When they talk to people, sometimes they could just talk to them through their head or make them feel safe or like, hey, we're not threatening or whatever. This thing was doing that exact opposite. Hey, I want you to feel threatened.
Yeah.
So that leads me to think that this is actually something that's attached itself to the dad, and now it's kind of haunting their family. And just acting like, hey, I'm a dog man. I'm a creepy creature. You know, I'm a scary creature in the woods. And then they're like, okay, well, it's a dog man. He's like, okay, sure. I'll be dog man, whatever. And then the cat falls in love with him, and then the cat runs away with him. What? We went looking for our cat. She's gone missing. It's like, well, the cat's pregnant. And she's on her way to
mom.
Yeah, she's on her way to California.
Oh, no.
With the dog man. But it seems like that kind of situation, because it hasn't been eating humans, and she's getting this feeling like, I feel like it wants me to leave my kids in the car and all that kind of stuff. That's not stuff that animals kind of do. That's more of a demonic spirit. So I think this is actually a demon they're dealing with.
Yeah, you're possibly right. Yes, very much so. I mean, let's put this in the world of the cryptids. All right. We do have the cryptids that do use telepathic speaking. You know, we've seen it with the Mothman or whatever, stuff like that.
Right, and we've also heard of Bigfoot using telepathic speaking. But see, Bigfoot, I don't know if I believe in that kind of thing. Maybe there's something out there, and maybe it's this thing that's telepathically speaking.
Yeah, maybe, you know, and so here's what I may be throwing out at you. Here we go. The idea is that obviously, Earth has been visited by, you know, beings from other planets, right? And they have found their you know, footing here. And I think we do live amongst a lot of different creatures from different places, or that are old from the past, that have maybe mated with other animals, other humans, and have created weird hybrids. But then there's the more pure ones like this one. And this may be one of the pure ones that is older, that, like you said, is kind of like demonic in a sense of not afraid of
right. But
humans.
Also, another thing I would say is that this thing's trying to cause her fear. Did it actually come after her? No, it didn't. It never actually came after them. And what causes fear? For what reason?
Demons.
For power, to get gain power. This thing actually did not attack them. It only mocked them like a demon. And it only caused fear, like a demon.
Okay, and I was going to say, and also the fact that the dad is obviously into this, then, yeah, a demon may have just picked up on that sense like, okay.
Yeah, and she's, like she said, I'm guessing this was the Wolfman, because my husband said he'd seen it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean
the dog man.
Or the dog man, because my husband said he saw it. But did she actually say it herself?
Yeah.
And
he didn't see it himself. He just saw the woods move.
Right. So what we're talking about is people who are just assuming it's a dogman. But this is no characteristics of a dogman. This is characteristics of a demon that's attached to something surrounding these people.
It's a witch.
Okay. A witch.
Could be a witch.
Okay. Could be a witch.
Calling them from the woods, wanting the kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Witches love kids. Yep. I'm just going to stick with demon. I really think that this was some kind of freaky demon. I think that they're going to have to do something. I think they're going to have to move, honestly. That's what I would do.
Yeah, it's too powerful.
That's what I would do. I would just move if one of these things. But that's what I think. And the more that it's building this fear, the more that...
The stronger it's
going to get. And it's going to keep preying on the mom, because she's going to have the most fear. And why is it mocking her? You can't get in. Then she gets in. He's like, oh, okay. I guess you could.
Do you think the demon's reading online? It's like, yeah, did they say my story? Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. Maybe you just wanted to get on True Scary Stories. All right, let's keep going. Brazil, 10:30 p.m., Friday, October 18th, 2002.
My name is Gabriel Santos Cabral. I'm 20 years old now, and my encounter happened when I was 6 years old, turning 7. Back then, my family and I lived in a countryside in Londrina, Paraná, Brazil. It wasn't a rural property. It was more like a country summer house, but in the city. The property was just outside the suburbs in the northwestern part of the city, edging the city limits and nearing the country. It was in approximately 420 square meters, piece of land surrounded by 2 meters of wall for more privacy. The house sat in the far corner of the property with a good view of the surroundings, 90 to 95% of the view of the whole property from the front porch of the house. The region resembles southern Missouri or northeastern Kansas, but it's tropical rather than temperate subtropical. The city is in a metropolitan area with a population of 486,000 people. It would resemble Wichita or Kansas City. The landscape is fairly flat with some hills. The scenery has little vegetation with only some parks and nature preserves, none being big enough to have a decent population of any medium-large animal species whatsoever. There are no bears in Brazil, and the largest predators found in the wild are the maned wolf, the southern South American cougar, and the Pantanal jaguar, none of which really could be identified as what I saw. My encounter was brief, but it was clear enough for me to make out the shape of a creature, its color, size, etc. So, on to the encounter. It was Friday, October 18, 2002. It was mid-spring in the South Hemisphere, and that night, there was a full moon with relatively cloudy skies. We had a dozen dogs on the property, which all slept together in a large kennel on the side of the house. They would be pretty quiet at night, but on that night, they were unsettled and spooked. One of the dogs managed to escape from the kennel and was so desperately trying to get into the house. I was alone with my mom, and she asked me to turn on the floodlights outside the house and check out what all of the commotion was about. I did that and went to the front porch to scan the area, trying to see what could have scared the dogs. Staring at the corner where we had a mango tree, 90 to 120 yards away, I saw this large grayish creature running on all fours, avoiding the lights. It passed behind the mango tree and disappeared in the dark. As I saw it, I immediately identified it as being a werewolf, like that from the movie Bad Moon, but with a slightly larger head, thicker snout, and bulkier build. On its hind legs, it must have stood, at the very least, as tall as the property walls, about 5'7". I froze for a few seconds after seeing it. It was a brief sighting. It lasted 2 to 3 seconds. As soon as I recovered from the shock, I sprinted as fast as I could back into the house, locked all the doors, and closed the windows that were still open. I was familiarized with werewolf movies back then. I was already aware of the impossibility of there being someone who could shapeshift into a monster, but what I saw was unmistakably similar to a werewolf. So since that encounter, I started to believe in werewolves, only under the same concept of dogmen, which are natural rather than supernatural and look the way they do 24/7, a term which I only came across recently. And that is the encounter I had with a dogman. Just like in the US, where there are places where sightings are frequent, there are places in Brazil where they happen frequently too. In the US, it would be Elkhorn, Wisconsin, Taylor, Mississippi, and Marshall, Texas. In Brazil, it would be Janopolis and Três Lagos. Janopolis had the sightings of werewolves dogmen ever since its foundation. Its first mayor was said to be a werewolf back in the mid to late 1800s. The town is filled with werewolf references. Três Lagos has had as many sightings ever since the late 1980s, early 1990s. There was a series of nights in this small city in the 1990s where people claimed that a werewolf was roaming the streets at night, after dark, trying to invade houses, climbing onto roofs, and howling all night long, scaring people's dogs and attacking livestock. It really scared people. The state police began reinforcing night patrols and started investigating, assuming that someone was out at night in a suit, scaring people. Some cryptozoologists even collected DNA samples. As it turned out, it wasn't human DNA or that of any known animal, and it certainly wasn't artificial hair from a suit.
Okay, so I think what we have here is you have the, I can't believe I didn't think of this before, but you have all these sightings all around the world, and even when we looked up French werewolf, we found out that it wasn't the first sighting of a dogman. That it goes back to Greece, and all these people have seen it since before the French started calling it the French werewolf. So obviously, we just have some species of something that the whole world has.
Yeah.
And without knowing it, we've all been cataloging it. And so now we're getting all these stories from different places, and these are not different creatures. It's not a werewolf versus a dogman versus whatever they have in different in Scotland or whatever. Yeah. These are all the same kind of thing, and they pop up all over the world, and they're just called different things because we come from different cultures.
Yeah. But
it sounds like they all have pretty similar attributes.
Yeah, I mean, much like the duendes, you know, the gnomes. Yeah, it's obvious there's different creatures. Even the idea of, like, orcas. Remember when they said that they would try to release the orca back into a different region? And it's like, well, they don't speak each other's language because they're from different places.
And they found out recently with orcas, there's, like, a new kind of orca that they had never known existed.
Oh,
like, I mean, to me, it looked exactly like the other ones. I don't know if that's... animalist. They all look alike to me, you know.
Well, all these dogmen would probably have similar looks.
Black, white, I mean, that's what they look like. But I guess it was something with the fin was a different, it was like a different kind that they, the DNA was different and everything. And they're like, oh, I guess there's a different kind of orca whale. So it could be, that might be why we have all these subsets of different eye colors, some with hands. That's really weird. Someone has some explaining to do with that one, because definitely some person mated with one of these creatures. Why does it have human hands?
Yeah.
And why is its name Larry? obviously, that's a whole different thing. But it seems like, just like the orcas, you know, all around the world, there's different cousins and things like that.
Yeah.
But they all kind of are the same, just like the orcas.
Dogs in like Iraq that are not dogs that the soldiers, I think Iraq or Afghanistan, would kind of adopt, but they would tell them, like, those aren't real dogs. They look like dogs,
yeah,
but they're not
dogs.
I forget what they're
or
the
like
animals
even if you think about the Middle East and camel spiders, those giant spiders that look like they're kind of also like I don't know, cats. Like, they're huge.
Okay,
they
all right.
Look, I don't know, they almost like a scorpion-ish kind of look to them. They don't look like regular spiders.
They just look very alien to us.
Yeah. And so if you were, let's say, before technology, you would have never seen one of these things, right? You go and you travel, or you're in a different area of the United States. Someone brings one over here, and it gets away. They start mating with whatever, regular spiders, kind of like what happened with bees and hornets and all that when they came over. And then now you have all these different subsets of the spider, and all of a sudden you see a camel spider for the first time. You're like, dude, I just saw the devil himself.
Yeah.
I literally just saw the devil. And you explain it to people, and they're like, wow, that's crazy. And it becomes like kind of like folklore.
Yeah.
But really, it was some dude brought it over and lost it. And now we have all these like weird animals in there. You know, they're hiding and they're not easy to find. I think that's exactly what happened with bees, right? With hornets or killer bees or whatever.
Yeah,
they are.
I believe they said that killer bees were kind of human-made.
They're not supposed to be here or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it could be something similar. These things could have been around as longer than us.
Yeah.
And they've just figured out a way to avoid us because they're smart enough to know that we suck.
Dun, dun, dun.
So they just avoid us, and they're like, man, these people are getting really smart. Now they have phones and stuff. And
they're Randonautica. They're finding us.
Yeah, and they're
Pokemon
able
Go.
And they're able to connect with each other. And so now they're sharing the stories and everything. But before, it was just, oh, I saw something in Brazil. Oh, I saw something wherever. But now we're all kind of connecting the dots.
Oh, man.
And so they've probably been here longer than us.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going. El Paso, Texas, 7:30 p.m., June 27th, 68.
I wanted to share a story of an encounter me and a bunch of friends had back in 1968. To this day, I still think about it. Kind of hard to forget, no matter how hard I've tried. Anything I say today must be understood as the words of someone only 11 years old, but I'll try to make myself as clear as I can. On a summer evening in 1968, an older cousin, a group of friends, and I decided to play baseball at a nearby baseball field. The field was about 4 to 5 blocks away from where I lived at 3621 Richmond Avenue, and the field was southeast from my house. We all got together and were playing. There wasn't enough of us to play team-to-team matchup, so we were just rotating one pitcher, one fielder, and the catcher while the rest batted. There are some train tracks that ran parallel to the baseball field. I mention this because of what happened next. My time came up to pitch, and my older cousin was fielding. One buddy hit a foul ball, and it went over the fence towards the railroad tracks. By then, it was getting a little past dusk, though, and the field lights weren't too bad. There was a man standing close to where the ball rolled to a stop. My cousin ran towards the fence and yelled at the man to throw the ball back to us. He ignored my cousin, so I ran over and yelled as well. The rest of the guys came over, and we started to cuss the guy out for ignoring us. None of us wanted to get near the guy, though. Something about him didn't feel right. One of the guys picked up a rock and threw it at what we thought was a bum. The rock came close, but it didn't hit the guy. Then a group of guys started to throw rocks, and that's when crap hit the fan. This guy turned towards us slowly and dropped to all floors, dropped to all fours. What we all saw next, by the dim field lights, was not a man, but a snarling, wolf-like creature. My cousin was the first to react by yelling, "Werewolf!" And he turned and ran, followed by the rest of us. We ran as a group. Some were lucky and made it home first, peeling off from the rest of us one by one. My cousin and a friend ran to my house and spent the night. We told my parents what we had seen, and of course they blew us off. My mom told us, "What you probably saw was the devil himself for staying out past dusk." Being Hispanic, we always had holy water around the house. We blessed the house and especially my bedroom. None of us slept that night, and any noise would make us jump. The next morning, we, all the guys, screwed up enough courage to go back to investigate. We found our ball where it had landed, but no visible tracks of anything else. Everyone but me agreed that we had seen a werewolf. I kept asking, how could it have been a werewolf if there was no full moon last night? Have dogmen sightings been reported near El Paso? And no, I don't want to be identified. There are very few people I've told over the years, and they've either laughed at me or thought I was crazy. I'm an old man now, but I need to get this off my chest.
Okay, well, that's what you get for being a little jerk kid. Hey, man, throw us a ball.
Yeah, started throwing rocks.
Yeah, okay, we're going to throw rocks at you.
And I bet you they're like, hey, pitch away, like being disrespectful.
And then this guy, what you didn't know is that you were dealing with the devil himself. They said it. And we always make fun of it.
That's a Latina mom, though. You saw the devil himself for being out late. Like, oh, okay,
it
all right.
Is. I love
the devil cares about curfews.
I love when people say the devil himself. The devil, the actual devil.
Yeah,
you should be so lucky that the king of darkness himself would come mess with your little boy.
Well, he didn't believe it. The mom just said it.
Your little poo-poo
just
boy.
Just to be mean.
So that's what you get. And that's what you get. Now you're an old man. What? What? You're still scared. Good. That's what you get for throwing rocks at people.
Yeah. So here we have El Paso, Texas, 1968.
The thing is, he's concerned that he's like, they yelled werewolf. Werewolf! Which, what is this? The Sandlot? Like, this sounds like the Sandlot movie.
Yeah.
Like, the kids are playing baseball. Oh, there's some kind of scary thing back there. Whatever. But the 60s were a much different time. They're throwing rocks, whatever. Werewolf! Bleh! Run away! They're probably laughing. Sounds, honestly, like it was pretty fun. So they're running away from this thing. But it wasn't even a full moon. Well, that's just a story. Like, that's just a part of the folklore. I think that's a part of the French werewolf thing where they're like, they made a story around it, you know?
Yes.
It's like if I said, oh, I thought I saw a vampire, but he wasn't good looking. It's like, well, that was just a story from Twilight.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that all vampires are like that. That just fit into a cool story.
Yeah, and a lot of vampire folklore has been debated by Anne Rice, or Anne Rice is the one that dictated most of it.
So, yeah, it wasn't a full moon or anything. Well, yeah, it was daylight, and you guys were being a bunch of jerks, but I guess werewolves can change when somebody's throwing rocks at them. Maybe they're more like the Hulk.
Oh, so you think it was, obviously it was standing,
well,
and then
it dropped
down.
Well, he said that we were throwing rocks at what we thought was a bum.
Yeah.
So he thought it was a person. Obviously, they all thought it was a person in the beginning, because if they saw it was a dog, they would have ran. So it morphed. It digivolved. It evolved. So obviously they made him mad and that happened, but I don't think you actually need a full moon or anything. As we've heard from the other stories, none of them mention full moon. So
yeah, so werewolf or dogman?
I don't think there is a werewolf. I think werewolf is dogman.
Okay.
But it's just, you know, different places interpret it differently over the years.
Okay, well, before we go on to
like
the next
Santa
one.
Claus.
Yeah, Santa Claus is very different. And originally, he had a green suit.
Exactly.
It was Coca-Cola that made him have a red suit so that it could sell Coca-Cola.
Nick and his facts.
So, remember these details.
All right, let's keep going. Woohoo! We're on to the last story. Don't you always learn something when you're listening to True Scary Stories? Santa used to be green. Mostly it's useless information. But don't you always just learn something?
It's trivia information. They can use it later.
Oh, okay. It's not useless. Maybe someday they'll be telling somebody how Santa used to have a green suit.
I mean, we can
because he was a saint. Saint Nick.
Well, there was Saint Nick also, yes.
Yeah, and saint. Is it Irish? Isn't he Irish?
Well, any Catholic belief could be saint. I think he was German or something.
I thought Santa was Irish, and that would make sense why he had a green suit.
No, I think, the idea of all that is that there's a lot of facts and a lot of things that we believe that have been warped.
It's like telephone. When you tell somebody something, they tell somebody something else. Coca-Cola gets a hold of it, and they're like, let's make it red. So, yeah, that makes sense. If someone told me the story of Santa, I would think it was a horror story.
Oh, okay.
Guy comes into your house, make sure that he knows when you're sleeping. If you're good, he gives you a gift. If you're bad, he puts you on the naughty list, but he still comes into your house and still leaves you coal or whatever, and he comes with giant reindeer. I'd be like, oh, that sounds scary. And then I tell it to my kids, and they were like, have you heard the horror story of... And then it gets morphed, just like...
Did you believe in Santa?
Yeah, I believed in Santa until I was 14.
Were you scared?
Until I was 14.
So you weren't scared. So you didn't think it was a horror story.
No, but I'm just saying that's how these kind of things get...
Telephone. You just telephoned your own past.
That's how these things get a little bit construed.
Because then people are going to be like, Edie used to be scared of Santa Claus. It's like, no, she wasn't.
I believed in Santa until I was 14 years old, and my mom did not tell me it was fake. She kept me thinking it was real, and she would actively do things to make me think it was real. And since I was homeschooled, I didn't have any friends to tell me it wasn't real.
And you have younger brothers who knew it wasn't.
They all believed it was real, too. Okay, and so did my older sister, and she had to be, 16.
Dang.
That was so embarrassing. All right, so this is the last story before we do it. Don't forget to give us 5 stars, just because I believed in Santa until I was a teenager. And join the Facebook group. We have a lot of fun there talking about all kinds of scary stuff. And follow Nick on Instagram at Nick Comic and True Scary Stories on Instagram. All right, that's it. The Wolf Girl of Devil's River.
In 1835, a group of American colonists led by Dr. Charles Beale were camped at Lake Espontosa, a renowned haunted location near what is now Carrizo Springs in southwest Texas. Half a mile away from the Beale group, John Dent and his pregnant wife Molly Pertule Dent, both from Georgia, had built a brush cabin. Dent had come to trap beaver in the Devil's River area, north of the present-day Del Rio. He was also on the run from the law for the murder of a fellow trapper in Georgia. The Dents were fortunate in their choice of site, distant from the lake. A band of Comanches raided the main Beale camp and massacred most of the inhabitants. Afterwards, they threw the bodies of the victims and their carts into the lake. Even at this time, Espontosa Lake had acquired a reputation for ghostly going-ons. This incident added to the store of ill luck and sorrow centering on what to this day Mexicans considered a haunted location. The name Espantosa means frightful. As Molly was approaching the end of her pregnancy, the couple were reluctant to travel despite the danger of hostile Indians. One night in May 1835, there was a severe thunderstorm and Molly went into labor. She appeared to be having problems with the birth. Dent decided to ride westwards for help. He arrived at a Mexican goat ranch on the Pecos Canyon. He told them desperately about his wife's condition, begging for someone to ride back with him. But as the Mexicans prepared their horses to leave, there was a furious crash of thunder. A bolt of lightning struck Dent from his horse, killing him instantly. After a considerable delay, the gourd herders mounted up and followed Dent's directions. However, darkness fell before they got over the divide to the Devil's River, thus delaying the search. At sunrise the next morning, they located the dense, isolated cabin. But what they found outside the cabin, in an open brush arbor, was Molly Dent alone, lying dead. She had apparently died in childbirth, but there was no trace of the baby anywhere. The child was never found. But fang marks on the woman's body and numerous wolf tracks over the area made the goat herders naturally assume that the infant had either been devoured or carried off by lobo wolves. This was just the beginning of the story. 10 years later, in 1845, a boy living at the San Felipe Springs, Del Rio, reportedly saw a creature with long hair covering its features that looked like a naked girl. The creature was attacking a herd of goats in the company of a pack of lobo wolves. The story was ridiculed by many, but still managed to spread back among the settlements. Around a year after this incident, a Mexican woman at San Felipe claimed she had seen 2 large wolves and an unclothed young girl devouring a freshly killed goat. She approached close to the group, she said. They saw her and ran off. The woman noticed that the girl ran initially on all fours, but then rose up and ran on 2 feet, kneeling close to the wolves. The woman was in no doubt about what she had seen. The people in Devil's River country began to keep a sharp watch for the girl. There were similar reports by others in the region during the following year. Apache stories told of a child's footprints, sometimes accompanied by handprints, having been found among wolf tracks in sandy places along the river. A hunt was organized to capture the Lobo, or Wolf Girl, of Devil's River, as she had become known, compromising mainly Mexican vaqueros. On the third day of the hunt, the naked girl was sighted near Espantosa Lake, running with a pack of wolves. Such a sight would have shocked even the most experienced Omaha outdoors hunting enthusiasts. The cowboys managed to separate the girl from her wolf companions. They cornered her in the canyon, where she fought like a wildcat, clawing and biting frantically to keep her freedom. They finally managed to lasso her to keep her still. But while they were tying her up, she began to make frightening, unearthly sounds, somewhere between the scream of a woman and the howl of a wolf. As she howled, the monster he-wolf from whom she had been separated appeared and rushed at her captors. Fortunately, one of the cowboys reacted quickly and shot it dead with a pistol, at which the wolf girl fell into a faint. Securely bound, the men were now able to examine the girl. They noted that despite a body covered in hair and her wild mannerisms, her appearance was human. Her hands and arms were well-muscled, but not out of proportion. She lacked the ability to speak, only make deeping growling sounds, but she moved smoothly on all fours, and was rather awkward when made to stand up straight. The girl was put on a horse and taken to the nearest ranch, an isolated two-room shack amid the desert wilderness. She was put in one of the rooms and unbound. The cowboys offered her a covering for her body and food and water, but she refused, cowering in the darkest corner. They left her alone for the night, locking the door and posting a guard outside. The only other opening in the room was a small boarded-up window. As night fell, the cowboys heard terrifying howls come from the wolf girl's room. The strange cries carried through the still night air, unsettling her captors and soon finding answers from among the wolf pack in the wilderness beyond the shack. Soon there were long, deep howls coming from all sides as the pack drew closer to the house. Occasionally, strange howling screams from the girl answering them from inside her dark room. Suddenly, a large pack of wolves charged into the corrals. They began attacking the goats, cows, and horses, and bringing up the cowboys outside, shooting and yelling to drive them away. In all the confusion, the wolf girl managed to tear the planks from the window and escape into the night. The howls soon abated. The wolves crept back into the wilderness. The next day, not a trace of the girl could be found. Learning to track in the wilderness of Texas or the wild Omaha outdoors is an age-old art that requires many years of dedication and practice. Though there were a few unverified reports in the following years of a young, hair-covered girl being seen with a wolf pack in the area, no one ever came in close contact with her. Meanwhile, gold had been discovered in California, and westward travel had increased significantly. In 1852, a surveying party of frontiersmen searching for a new route to El Paso. They were riding down the Rio Grande at a bend far above the mouth of the Devil's River. When they were almost at the water's edge, they saw, at close range, sitting on a sandbar, a young woman suckling two wolf cubs. Suddenly, she saw them, quickly grabbed the pups, and dashed into the brakes at such a rate that it was impossible for the horsemen to follow. The girl would have been 17 years old that year. After that, she disappeared into the wilderness forever. It is impossible now to know what became of Molly Dent's daughter, presuming that is who the wolf girl was. There were subsequent reports of human-faced wolves in the area right up until the 1930s. Author L.D. Bertillon wrote in 1937, "During the past 40 years, I have in Western country met more than one wolf face strongly marked with human characteristics. The story of the wolf girl of Devil's River reads more like a folktale than a real feral child case. The large amount of evidence for what happened is all anecdotal. She does, however, seem to live on in a more subtle form. Her ghost has apparently been seen in the old San Felipe Springs area beside the banks of the Devil's River. In 1974, the same year as the Delphos wolf girl in Kansas, a hunter in this area claimed to have seen her again in the form of a white apparition which vanished before his eyes. Back in the autumn of 1835, when John and Molly Dent had newly arrived in Texas, Molly wrote her mother an odd letter. It said merely, 'Dear Mother, the devil has a river in Texas that is all his own, and it is made only for those who are grown. Yours with love, Molly.'"
Okay, I was wondering if you were going to say that this, like, she, the kid that the woman had was maybe, like, some kind of demon kid. Because maybe that's why the mother was having so much trouble when she was trying to give birth, and then this thing comes out, it's some kind of demon kid, And that's why it had the bite marks on her, and it was gone. And then it obviously got picked up by these...
Wolf
people. Maybe this mom has some explaining to do. Maybe she was touring around with these wolf people, and then they came to get their kid.
I mean, yeah, it could be that. It could be... Did they come pregnant? Let me see.
She knew more than she was saying. So let's say this mom... She goes on a date with one of these wolf guys, right? She gets pregnant. The guy doesn't know. All of a sudden, time to have the baby, right? She doesn't know who, but the wolf dad or this guy, the human.
Yeah.
Right? And so then she's like, oh, this is a really hard pregnancy because this wolf thing ain't meant to come out of people.
Yeah.
So it, obviously, he leaves, gets stripped by lightning, which is another weird part of the story. But the wolf thing is born and dad comes to pick up his kid. He's like, okay, it's my visiting hours. Thank you.
I think I have a different theory for you.
Okay.
Because the mother came pregnant. Okay, so they were obviously near Devil's River.
Yeah, but there's wolf people, wolf men all around.
Okay, here we go. They're near Devil's River. All right. Now we already have in this timeline, we already have the ability for skinwalkers to be around. Okay. Dent, who was trying to escape murder. Mm-hmm. At the Devil's River, made a deal with some wolf spirit, whether it was the devil himself or a skinwalker, a wolf spirit, to say, I will give you my firstborn if you get rid of anyone around this area as me and my wife want to be alone, which is also why he was struck dead, because he made this deal.
Right.
And so that
it never works out.
Never works out, because the night that the baby was going to happen, the spirits killed the father and came and took their demon child, their wolf child.
Okay. Or the lady just was having a hard pregnancy, and these wolf people heard her screaming, and they were like, okay, let's go check it out.
Yeah.
So they go and they check it out, and they're like, oh, it's a human. We're not really into that. But maybe they took a bite to see. Okay, let's see if we can eat this.
Or they try to carry her, like, come on, let's go.
But yeah, but they're like, eh, this is not very good, so let's not eat this. Oh, but she has a baby. Oh, but you know how wolves are kind of maternal, and even dogs will take other dogs' puppies and things like that. So they might have been like, you know, the old story of Mowgli.
Yeah.
Raised Tarzan. By the wolves. We'll take you. And then she became one of them. She's still 100% human, but the way she's raised makes her kind of wolf-like. And then obviously she's going to mate with one of these guys.
Yep. Who created these wolf men.
And then now she got these two little babies, and that's why they said she would be 17 at the time, which is about the age wolves get down.
Oh, is that it? No, but I mean, this may be the weird answer to this the human like, hybrid
right.
Of
right, because they captured one of her, they captured a kid. Maybe they have some kind of like humanity. They're like, oh, this lady's dead. We can't eat her. She doesn't taste good. Let's just raise the kid as our own.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah, man, that's the story with a lot of, that's Hercules too.
Yeah, so.
That's Hercules' story.
This may have been the start
and Mowgli, and Tarzan.
Maybe the start of the Dogman, Wolfman.
Right, where then we get the hands.
Yep.
We should have asked, did the 17-year-old have hands? I mean, her babies have hands? What color eyes did they have?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to True Scary Stories with E. This has been an extra long episode, but we love you guys. Please stay safe. Wash your hands for crying out loud. And go give us 5 stars.
Or your dog paws if you're a dog.
Right. All right. We love you guys. Bye.